Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss held a press conference yesterday to talk about COVID-19 related legislation that his caucus could support. Shortly before that, Governor Tony Evers proposed a $541 million package aimed at offsetting the economic fallout from the pandemic. It's the first significant talk of legislation in Wisconsin since April, after leadership in the state Senate weighed in. Getting any of those ideas passed is looking like a tall order. Plus today, extended mask mandate. Sean Johnson, WPR's Capital Bureau Chief, joins us now. Sean, welcome back.
Hey, Rob.
Let's start with yesterday. We have these dueling announcements from Speaker Voss and Governor Evers. Compare and contrast for us, please.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of fed into the other. So we had this announcement around noon that the speaker was going to hold a press conference that afternoon to talk about COVID-19, legislative priorities. And then moments later, the governor introduced a COVID-19 bill that he said his office said they'd shared with the speaker's office the night before. So what we have after all that is one bill, and that is a bill draft from the governor, which does a lot of things. You know, noteworthy steps that it would take are letting the state ban evictions, putting a variety of restrictions on insurance companies when it comes to health plans, covering testing and treatment related to COVID-19, and also a lot of money for things that are being paid for by the federal government right now, like testing, some tax cuts. There would be a lot of state money set aside in this bill if the federal government did not renew that funding on its own.
And what do we hear from Speaker Voss about possible legislation, not drafted, I understand, that they might consider?
It's kind of unclear. I mean, the speaker was very clear that they did not have a bill in the state assembly. Republicans did not. And he wanted to talk to the governor. The speaker said that he was supportive of increased testing and increased contact tracing. Those are kind of the two big picture ideas that he said he was in support of, but he didn't like some of the other big picture items in the governor's bill. You know, he didn't like the ban on evictions, and he didn't like how much the governor's bill would spend in state funding for, these things that the federal government's taking care of right now.
Rocky steps there. And then we heard from the new president of the state Senate, Republican Chris Kapinga. What did he have to say about all of this?
Well, Kapinga told the Journal Sentinel that really there's not much that he has seen up to this point that he would support, that he doesn't think that the state necessarily needs to be stepping in and doing more when it comes to contact tracing, for example. So you got to remember that the Senate, which was already very Republican, just got more Republican in the last election. And there are new leaders. Kapinga is now the Senate president. There's a new Senate majority leader. And so there's just a new mix of people in the Senate making decisions. And it is more conservative than it used to be, before November. So that's kind of where the Senate president is at. You know, he can't speak for everybody exactly, but he's speaking for himself there, and he's been elected to a position of power in that body. And he's saying that he doesn't want to see the state necessarily more involved here.
So we've got big numbers in the state. We're going to talk to a public health expert about that in just a few moments, Sean. It sounds like this all adds up to not very likely that anything is going to get passed by the legislature and signed by the governor. Is that a fair read on this at this point anyway?
Well, I mean, it's been 8 months since they agreed on the last thing. You know, the legislature has not passed a bill related to COVID-19 since April, and the governor hasn't signed something that they have passed since April. So obviously they see this issue differently. You know, they have spent a lot of time fighting each other in court, where the governor has issued emergency orders of varying degrees, and they have been fought by Republicans on the grounds that he exceeded his authority by not going through them. So I don't think it's a slam dunk that they are going to agree on anything. I think that would be probably a foolish bet to make given that what we've seen. But you did see at least the governor out there and the assembly speaker out there saying that we are willing to talk.
And speaking of emergency declarations, a new announcement from Governor Evers saying he wants to extend a mask mandate further. It was supposed to expire, I think, this weekend. where is that right now? Does it exist right now, given the court challenges?
You know, so the mask mandate, the one that we're under until this weekend, is still there. There was there were Supreme Court oral arguments earlier this week in a case that would strike that down and that would block the governor's power to issue similar mask mandates in the future. So he, you know, as we stand right now, you know, the mask mandate has not been struck down, and the governor's power to issue that mask mandate has not been struck down. So he can do what he said he's going to do today, unless the state Supreme Court steps in and says otherwise, you know, and says that no, the governor doesn't have the power to issue and reissue these public health emergencies without the legislature stepping in to explicitly grant him that power.
All right, that's what we'll watch next. Sean, thanks for bringing us up to date.
All right, thanks, Rob.
That's WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson talking to us about the latest from Governor Evers and Assembly Speaker Robin Voss when it comes to action on COVID-19. Meanwhile, the state reported a record 7,989 new coronavirus infections today, along with 52 deaths. Today, Governor Evers extended that statewide mask mandate into next year. We'll see what happens with that court challenge. Other states have taken similar steps. Michigan recently issued new gathering restrictions. Republican governors in North Dakota and Iowa are putting mask mandates into place. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think Wisconsin needs enforceable statewide rules to fight the pandemic? What are you seeing in your part of the state? Has COVID-19 affected you or your family? What do you want people to know? What questions do you have about COVID-19 and the efforts to turn the tide? Call 800-642-1234. Dr. Patrick Remington is back with us, Professor Emeritus in the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. Dr. Remington, welcome back to Central Time.
Good to be back, Rob. Thanks.
Well, we've got this back and forth in state government here in Wisconsin about statewide mandates. A lot of states taking their own form of actions or inactions. What are you watching for when it comes to effective measures at the state level to try to turn these escalating numbers around?
Well, one of the challenges with COVID-19 is a lot of information and a lot of misinformation. And it's challenging, I think, for everybody when you hear so much bickering by elected officials about the legality and the appropriateness of a governor, an elected governor, to be able to make such a mandate. What I'd like to hear is where there's common ground. For example, it was mentioned that contact tracing and testing might be common ground, that in response to a pandemic, you need testing. We need to know who's infected and who's not. And then that information alone isn't sufficient. We need to have employed contact tracers to follow up. So if that's common ground, I'd rather see the legislature and the governor getting together and figuring out how to do more testing and better and more contact tracing than to continue to debate who has the authority to issue an order.
Well, here's a common ground and a common message. We saw Governor Evers join the governors of six other states, mostly Midwestern, including a couple Republicans, a bipartisan letter, an op-ed urging people to not travel for Thanksgiving, not have big get-togethers for Thanksgiving. Is that a good message right now?
Well, I think it is a good message. It's a very opportune time for everybody to think about what they're doing, what we're all doing to contribute to be part of the solution. And if you know, this is a time when governments can make orders, and there are public health statutes which enable local health officers and our state health officer to make such orders. But I think more than anything, it's a time for everybody to demonstrate their personal responsibility to not do things that will make this pandemic worse. And one of them is to stay at home on Thanksgiving. I've seen some very clever ideas. I teach a class at the university, and students are staying within their family unit, but connecting these family units through social media. That's a great idea to have the safety of not coming together during this time, but also still connect. Of course, you don't all get to share the same turkey and dressing, but you do still get together, and you're not increasing the risk of transmission, because as you can see, the numbers I recommend that any listener just Google DHS for the Department of Health Services and COVID. Just look at the case number. That line has skyrocketed, and there's no end in sight. This is going up. By my guess, with 8,000, almost 8,000 cases today, in a month or 6 weeks, we could double the number of cases that we've seen in this state. So this is a pandemic out of control. Yes, we need government orders and you know, consistent messages, but we need everybody to be responsible and make the right and safe decisions.
Now, you talked about bad information out there. I want to listen to a clip of a nurse in South Dakota, Jody Doring. She had tweeted about her experience working with patients dying of COVID-19. Here's an interview with her on CNN talking about how people, even as they're literally dying of COVID-19, don't believe the disease exists. Here's a listen.
It wasn't one particular patient. It's just a culmination of so many people. And their last dying words are, this can't be happening, it's not real. And when they should be spending time FaceTiming their families, they're filled with anger and hatred. And it just made me really sad the other night. And I just can't believe that those are going to be their last thoughts and words.
Just the persistence of misinformation, Dr. Remington, even such a horrific circumstance of somebody dying in an emergency room.
Well, it's very hard to put risk information into sort of common terms. I think for most people, they hear stories about the person who had mild symptoms or maybe got sick but got better. But the numbers really don't lie. Yes, there are some people who are at the end of their life with a serious chronic illness, maybe in a nursing home, and they pass away as a result of COVID, but the years of life that they lost may not be so significant. But that is matched by the number of people who are younger, who have severe illness, and who die as a result of this disease. With 3,000 deaths, by the end of the year, most models predict Wisconsin will have over 5,000 people dying, and extend that to 1 year. This will be one of the leading causes of death. And nobody would dismiss the number of people who die from heart attacks or from cancer. This is going to be on that magnitude, on that scale, unless we stop transmission. And it's, you know, this is, we can treat illnesses pretty well, but not this one. We don't really have the effective treatments that we would like. The best medicine is preventive medicine.
Talking to Dr. Patrick Remington, Professor Emeritus in the School of UW Medicine, UW School of Medicine and Public Health, looking at COVID-19 in Wisconsin. You can join in with your questions and thoughts and maybe experiences at 800-642-1234. What are you seeing in your part of the state? Are you worried about how we're handling the disease? Do you work in healthcare? What are you seeing where you are? Call 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Verrett. We pick up our conversation with Dr. Patrick Remington, Professor Emeritus in the UW School of Medicine and Public Health, looking at the latest on COVID-19 here in Wisconsin as the nation knocks on the door of a 250,000 deaths from COVID-19. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 with your questions, your thoughts, maybe your experiences, and what do you want to see from state or local governments when it comes to mandates about masks and gatherings and things like that? And how are you handling Thanksgiving this year? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Michaela joins us now in southwestern Wisconsin. Michaela, hi.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Sure. What did you want to tell us about?
I guess I wanted to share what I'm seeing. I work in the city of La Crosse, and I live in a small town south of La Crosse. In my workplace, I'm seeing from the get-go, we implemented masks. I work at the People's Food Co-op, and we as a collective implemented masks before there was any sort of official mandate. In the small community that I'm from, I still continue to see zero masks on either employees or customers of certain establishments. So I kind of have the question, what does mandate even mean? Who and what is enforcement of this looking like? You know, I've gone in full protection to a few establishments where I was the only person wearing it in the environment.
Thanks a lot for sharing your experience. Dr. Remington, she is not seeing a mask mandate, even when it exists, enforced or observed by people.
Well, she makes a couple of great points. First of all, the comment that we as a collective, and I think this is an opportunity for communities to act collectively, to all agree to do the responsible thing, which is to socially distance and to wear masks and to really be as careful as you can. If you can stay home, certainly do so. If you're part of the essential workforce, do that with care and good hand hygiene. And she also points out tremendous cultural differences between a mandate, which is a law that is virtually unenforceable. We don't think the state police are going to come and give people tickets for not wearing a mask, but it's a signal about the right thing to do for the collective, for your community. And so again, I think we're not looking for mandates as enforceable laws. We're looking for mandates as information that people can use and then hopefully act collectively and think about your neighbor as much as yourself when responding. So I think it's a great example. Wisconsin is made up of many diverse communities. Some communities, I think, have embraced this order, not because of its a fear of enforcement, but because of the spirit of the collective.
Thanks for that call, Michaela. Let's go now to Alan in La Crosse. Alan, hi.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. As I said, I am from La Crosse, and I have some concerns about a community Thanksgiving dinner that's coming up. It is an event that I volunteer for year after year, but I will not be volunteering for it this year. I have reached out to the powers that be for the event, and they've assured me that every precaution is being taken. They are not doing a dine-in service like they normally would. Instead, it will be delivery and pickup only. Is this something that can be done safely, or does your guest feel this is just irresponsible given our current situation? And I'll take your comment off the air. Thank you.
Alan, thanks for the call. So they're not all dining in together, so that's at least a good first step. Dr. Remington, what do you think?
Well, I think it is an important step. One of the biggest risks with COVID is that it spreads through the air. And we know that indoor spaces, particularly that aren't well ventilated, are high risk. So I think that's a first good step. I think if people practice good hand hygiene and wear masks in food preparation, there's very little evidence. I'm not aware of any reports of transmission in for example, in carryout by touching a paper bag or food that's been prepared. Again, obviously take the reasonable precautions where for food preparation. But I think this is actually a good example of a response that still allows people, particularly maybe people who can't get together with their family members, to have that meal, but do so in their own home, in the safety of their own home. So I think, you know, there's no right or wrong. There's you have to think about the risks and make the right decision for you, but clearly not gathering with people outside of your close family, not gathering in indoor spaces is the first step people should take.
Thanks for that call. We'll go to Tom now in Milwaukee. Tom, hi.
Hi. I heard the doctor appealing for cooperation between the governor and the legislature for things like contact tracing, but I'm under the impression that the rates are so high now that contact tracing is not feasible.
Tom, thanks for the call. I've heard, Dr. Remington, that we don't have enough contact tracers given the scope of the disease. What do you think?
Well, we are in a surge situation, again, with almost 8,000 cases. You can imagine the challenges for some communities that might have a small staff of contact tracers. I think there's a question of sort of how we get through this surge. And that really is prevention. That is everybody staying home and complying with the order, even though not because of, again, as I've said, not because of fear of enforcement, because it's the right thing to do. And then with that, we should see a decline in cases, and then we can catch up. It's very difficult for local health departments to find these people, to employ them, to train them, especially if you were ready to go in August with your local health department, with the staff. Imagine, just look at the graphic on the Department of Health Services page. Is now there's 10 times more cases. So how do you all of a sudden find 10 times the number of contact tracers? So that's extremely challenging. So it's even more important when we don't have enough contact tracers to do even more to prevent transmission. Someday, hopefully, we'll get to the point where there are a few cases, and those few cases can be traced. We can find contacts, have them quarantine, put people in isolation, even use technology. But we're not there now. We really need to stay at home, stay safe, so that this surge can turn around.
And briefly, Dr. Remington, just to recap, when we're interacting with people, masked better than unmasked, better ventilation better than bad ventilation, less crowded better than more crowded, right? The same basics keep on applying, don't they?
The basics of this virus haven't changed. It spreads from person to person, more likely to spread the closer you are, more likely to spread indoor, and more likely to spread when people aren't wearing masks. So all the things you mentioned, stay outside. If you're going to gather, gather outside. There's some very clever technologies and techniques to do that. So, and certainly wear a mask whenever you go out.
Dr. Remington, thanks for joining us again.
Thanks, Rob.
Dr. Patrick Remington is Professor Emeritus in the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. He joined us for a look at the latest on COVID-19 in Wisconsin.